a quick word for you to piggyback on this word, and then I'd like to pray together if we could. But if you could finish the sentence for me, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in your presence is fullness of, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we are in the free place. I was studying Romans 5 this last week, and as sin reigned in death, so now grace reigns in life. And we were talking at House Church about this, about the place of abiding and how the grace of the Lord is reigning over that place. Reigning, R-E-I-G-N, and reigning, R-A-I-N, I think. There is a reign of grace for us in the place of abiding in Christ. And as soon as we step underneath or out from underneath that waterfall, there is nothing there. Because we are back in ourselves and we are back in the efforting place and we are back in the place that is hard. It's difficult. The burden is heavy. The yoke is burdensome. And the Lord tells us we can't live there and we're not supposed to live there. So if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, the David and Saul comparison has been so strong in our hearts now for two or three weeks. Stephen McVeigh here a couple weeks ago testified out of the Saul story, and it just, we're kind of here. So we want to not move until the Spirit moves us from this place. But just to so appreciate this word that Sam's talking about and the tendencies of Saul, I want to look at the tendency of David for just a moment, maybe to encourage your heart. With David, he was identified as a lover of the presence of the Lord, and he was so often talked about as a shepherd of the sheep. So in 1 Samuel 16, you remember that Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. Jesse had 8 sons, and David was the youngest, right? Probably the shortest. And the first son of Jesse came to be anointed, and God said to Samuel, what? No. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's not this one. And then you get to verse 11 in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, and Samuel says to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And Jesse said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep. Now, it's important to remember what was happening at this time. There was a huge feast happening in the city of Bethlehem. And Samuel, the great prophet who brought the fear of the Lord and the authority of the word with him, comes in, and everybody's gathered together for this feast. Everybody's invited except who? David. David was called to the menial task of keeping the sheep, and he never complained about that. He was the only one not invited. Of the 8, all 7 were invited to stand in front of Samuel. He was the one that was in charge of keeping the sheep. And so then Samuel, in verse 13, took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And when he accepted Christ, we now have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and there's a filling of the Spirit that happens in the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us to help us. And so then after that, he entered into Saul's service. You remember he played the harp for him because the harmful spirit tormented Saul. And then Saul called Jesse. It says in verse 19, therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who is where again? With the sheep. David, again, is identified as with the sheep. If you go to chapter 17, verse 15, it says, David was in the service of Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David was serving Saul. He had been anointed king. He was serving Saul, playing the harp, but he was going back and forth from the temple, and he was still caring for the sheep. And a couple more here. And then we get to the point where he's called to go to the front lines and to give supplies to his brothers. We're getting closer to the Goliath story now. In verse 20, it says, and David rose early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper. Because David was so obedient to this task, he did not leave them to fend for themselves. And then in verse 28, when David is saying, who is this Goliath that's crying out against the living God? He gets accused and he gets mocked because of this menial task by his older brother. In verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? And he accused his heart And then David standing before Saul, they're getting closer to the battle with Goliath. And Saul's like, how can you defeat Goliath? You're just a youth. And David said in verse 34 of chapter 17, but David said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took them from the flock, and then he went after them and struck them. So my point in all this is that David was obedient in the menial task, and that's where he learned about the presence of the Lord. Because as you'll remember with me, he said from these experiences, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because David was right there with his sheep, and he says, for you are with me. David's rod and his staff comforted his sheep, and he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David learned the nature and the character and the tendencies of the Lord in the menial, low tasks. David came in and sat at the foot of the table, and the master of ceremonies called him up to the head of the table so that he was honored in front of all. And so because of this, because David was obedient, keeping the sheep, because he was obedient to do what the Lord told him to do, what Jesse told him to do, because he humbled himself, then he could come to Goliath and he could say, I'm provoked because you're speaking against the very living God that I have relationship with. You're coming against me. You're coming against the armies of Israel, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, my God. David knew his God. There was no surprises for David. He knew that God was going to come through. Saul and the men were scared to death because they saw with their physical eyes. David knew the Lord in his heart, and that's why he was called a man after God's own heart. And so he gets to this fantastic passage, and starting in verse 45 of 17, and you've heard it a lot, but I just want to say it again. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. The point David was trying to make was not killing Goliath. It was that everybody may know what I know. I want everybody to understand what I understand about the Lord, that he is the strength that I'm leaning on, that he is my supply, that the Lord doesn't deliver the way man delivers. The Lord's going to do it his way. And so David became king and he led Israel because he was accustomed to and loved the presence of the Lord. But it started in this simple, obedient place. So Lizzie says to me last night, the kids were down for naps, which when you have five kids is like paradise and you take advantage whenever you can, as you know. She's like, I just am kind of feeling weak and empty and I just need to lock in and get some quiet time with the Lord. So she sits down and opens up her Bible and starts, and right then, bam, Shiloh, 6-month-old, starts screaming. Ugh, frustrated. And then it turns into, why is she? And I'm frustrated and I never get time to myself. And then she turned the corner and she started to give thanks. Thank you for this baby. Thank you for your presence here. And all of a sudden, Lizzie got into the place of presence. She was with the Lord when that thing interrupted her day. And I'm bragging on her here because I'm so proud of her doing this, because this is how simple it is. This is the rubber meets the road. This is where the task in front of you this week that seems so small and no one's watching, and I'm never going to get credit for this, and is this even important? If you engage the Lord in that task, it is not wasted. And the Lord will not leave you in that task for long. I promise you, brothers and sisters, if you say yes to the task he has before you, watching the sheep when everybody else is off at the party, I promise you, if you learn to love his presence, he will exalt you in due time. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And we are longing in leadership here to be led by the presence of the Lord. We do not want to be led by good ideas. We do not want to be led by what mathematically adds up and makes sense and is what's going to get more people in this room. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God.